It seems that all of Scripture is important. Even little verses, things we might not really spend any time thinking about. And I was thinking about what Christmas must have been before we began celebrating it in such a merchandised way. I was thinking of centuries ago, even before the early settlers came here. We've had the Bible since, somewhere around 363. You see, we've not always had all of the Bible. What we have right now was a result of three councils that met together, early church councils that met together. There was the Laodicean church council in 363. There was the Hippo church council in 393. And then there was the Carthage Council in 397. Between those three councils, they have given us the canon of Scripture, which is what we have now as a Bible. They were guided by God's Holy Spirit because He always preserved His Word. They were guided by His Holy Spirit into recognizing what were the Spirit-inspired parts of the Bible that we now call the Bible. But I wondered, as I was thinking about earlier Christmases, from that time on they had the Christmas story. We've had the Christmas story. See, Christmas to us is something they would not envision anything like this a few centuries ago. There were no Christmas trees. There were no Christmas lights. There were no Christmas parades. There was no big sales. Christmas was different. And I was thinking about that, what a difference it must have been on the farms. Cows still had to be milked. Chores had to be done. Animals had to be fed and watered. And as I contemplated what we were going to do as a church this Christmas, I was wanting to make sure that what we did was what God wanted us to do. That we would exercise His will. That we would discern what He wanted. So, let's ask God to help us tonight to get a vision of what He intends for Christmas to be. What He intended all along for Christmas to be. And let's see if we can discern what the Holy Spirit wants us to do. Father, we want to do Your will. Father, we want to hear Your Holy Spirit as He speaks to us in that still small voice. And Father, we want to follow His leading. We want to glorify You. We want to lift up the Lord Jesus Christ for all the world to see. And yet, Father, we are but human. We are so easily distracted sometimes, it seems. And we would ask that You would help us. Father, that You would help us to glorify You and to publish the glad tidings of Your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank You, Father, for any help You can give us. Thank you for your Holy Spirit's leading. Be with us now as we look in your word. Help us to understand what it is you want from each of us. And we will praise you for what you do. In Jesus' name, amen. Galatians 4, 4 through 7 begins actually the Christmas story. In Galatians 4, 4 through 7, God's word tells us, but when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And because ye are sons, God hath sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. We read this verse this morning. Wherefore, thou art no more a servant, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. If we accept the arbitrary dates given us in some of the study Bibles, Jesus was born about 4,000 years after he created the heaven and the earth. Now, again, we mentioned that this morning. It seems so strange that Jesus created Adam and Eve and then became a babe in a manger 4,000 years later. He became one of us in order to save us, in order to show us what God wanted. I believe that it is true that he was born 4,000 years after he created the universe, because that's what the Bible says. Oh, it doesn't give us dates, but we can take and work backward from the time he was born till the events that we read in Genesis, Exodus. He created Adam and Eve, and he was present when they sinned in the Garden of Eden. And 4,000 years later, he became a man. Prior to that time, it had been determined that there would have to be a sacrifice for the sin of mankind. It took 4,000 years to get the fullness of time ready that we might enjoy and celebrate the Christmas story. 4,000 years of preparation. 4,000 years of prophets foretelling his coming. The prophecy of Jesus' coming began in Genesis 3. Genesis 3, 14 and 15 says, and the Lord God said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this, you are cursed above all cattle and above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly shalt thou go, excuse me, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed, and it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. From there on out, as time passed, the plan and purpose of God was established with man. There would be those who spoke of his coming to earth and establishing his kingdom, such as Isaiah. In Isaiah 9, 6, and 7, he says, for unto us, and I believe I've heard those words earlier tonight, unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace, of the increase of his government, and peace there shall be no end, upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth forever and ever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. God has superintended from the very beginning, even as he made the promise of the defeat of Satan to Eve. He knew how he was going to bring this about. He was at work to bring it about in the fullness of time, as we read in Galatians. There have been many prophecies and signs given in the Word of God. One that most of us would be familiar with would be Isaiah 7:14. Therefore, the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son and call his name Emmanuel. Emmanuel meaning God with us. This sign is perhaps one of the most difficult to advertise to the public. Mary and Joseph couldn't go around saying, hey, this is the Savior, this is the Messiah, this is Emmanuel. Nobody would have believed him. And yet, God found a way. In Luke 2:8-18, we read, and there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the fields, keeping watch over their flocks by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them. And they were sore afraid, and the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you, ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace and goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, let us now go even to Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known to us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. They did the publishing. They told the people. And verse 18 says, and all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. Wow. What it must have been like to be one of those shepherds. I can only imagine how any of us might have reacted. There was more prophecy before this event. God even told where Jesus was to be born. When Isaiah said that the Lord of hosts would perform this, he had no idea that God had other prophets who would play a part. Micah 5:2, but thou, Bethlehem Ephrath, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth to me, that is to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from old, even from everlasting. We all know what happened as a result of the Roman occupation of that time, which some people might call a coincidence, but it was the Romans that decided to tax the people. And that brought Joseph and Mary to Bethlehem. In the fullness of time, just at the right time. Luke 2:1-7 says, and it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. and all went to be taxed, everyone to his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth unto Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered, and she brought forth her firstborn son, wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them at the inn. And we sing songs, hymns, of what took place on that day, away in a manger. Was it a coincidence that she was there just at that time? No, of course not. God had orchestrated everything over 4,000 years. And sometimes you and I get impatient with God because he doesn't answer our prayers yesterday. Who knows what he is working out? Now, I am sure that those who believed on the Lord Jesus Christ some 33 years later, after he rose from the dead, I am sure that some of them expected the kingdom to come back then. It's been 2,000 years, almost. We are still waiting. I expect to see it in my lifetime. Paul, 2,000 years ago, expected to see it in his lifetime. But we can look at history. We can look at those 4,000 years that God took to put everything in place. Joseph in the right place. Joseph engaged to Mary. Mary in the right place. Gabriel coming and letting Mary know all that was going to transpire. And they came to Bethlehem, which had been prophesied some 400 or 500 years before to be the place of his birth. Mary was willing to yield herself to God to become the mother, the virgin mother of the Messiah. Do we get impatient sometimes? Oh, come back, Lord Jesus. I don't want to go through this. And yet, he is still orchestrating everything that takes place. His will is going to be done. The world calls it a coincidence. But to those who know Jesus, it's God keeping his word and performing what he said that he would do. We've been looking at the Christmas story, but it doesn't end with the birth of Jesus. That's just the beginning. Brother Felber shared with us more of that this evening and so on. His life, we read about it in the Gospels, but his life was a fulfillment of prophecy. And yet there is so much prophecy yet unfulfilled. And it's exciting to think that we could see God fulfilling the rest of his prophecy before us. Where can we read some of what is yet to come? Well, we can read about it in the book of Daniel. In Daniel 2, verses 44 and 45, we read, "And in the days of these kings," that was the king of Babylon and the Medo-Persian Empire and the Greek Empire and the Roman Empire, "and in these days, in the days of these kings, shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed, and the kingdom shall not be left to other people, but it shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. Verse 45, for as much as thou sawest that the stone was cut out of the mountain without hands, and that it break in pieces the iron, the brass, the clay, and the silver, and the gold, and the great God hath made known unto the king what shall come to pass hereafter, and the dream is certain, and the interpretation thereof. You remember when we studied the book of Daniel, Nebuchadnezzar having a vision in the night of this great statue, head of gold, chest of silver, belly of brass, legs of steel or of iron and clay, or of iron and then toes, feet and toes of clay mixed with iron. That was actually a prophecy of Christ conquering all the kingdoms of the world. I mentioned four kingdoms. I mentioned the Babylonian kingdom. I mentioned the Medo-Persian kingdom. I mentioned the Greek kingdom. They're all gone. They've been destroyed. There was one other kingdom that was mentioned. It was different than all the others, and that was the kingdom of Rome, the Roman Empire. The Roman Empire is still with us. You say, what? I thought it was destroyed. No. You see, Rome ruled the world during the time of Jesus when he was born. It was their fault that he was in Bethlehem. He was born in Bethlehem. From there on, they destroyed Jerusalem in 70 AD. They continued to rule the world under their emperors. And in 316 AD, Constantine, as he returned to Rome after a crusade, looked up in the sky and saw what he recognized as a cross. And he anticipated that that was the symbol of Christianity. And so he declared Christianity to be the official religion of Rome. It is still with us today in the form of the Roman Catholic Church. So you see, that empire never truly disappeared. And yet in this prophecy of Daniel, there was a stone cut out of the mountain without hands. And that is symbolic of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he is coming back to destroy even the Roman Empire, to set up his own kingdom. I think that most of us remember some of the study in Daniel, and I hope you remember when Nebuchadnezzar believed the God of the Israelites. It was then that God used Nebuchadnezzar to magnify God and his rule over the nations of the earth. That's recorded in Daniel 4, 1 through 3. Nebuchadnezzar the king unto all people, nations, and languages that dwell in all the earth. Peace be multiplied to you. I thought it good to show thee the signs and the wonders that the high God hath wrought toward me. How great are his signs and how mighty are his wonders. His kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and his dominion is from generation to generation. Nebuchadnezzar had undergone a change. He'd undergone a change of heart. While he experienced the wrath of God upon him, all this was part of the preparation of the fullness of time. Jesus, first advent, put in motion a whole list of cascading events that only start with Christmas. We think of Jesus coming to die for the sins of the whole world, but this is not the end of the story. There's so much more. In Daniel 7, 13 and 14, Daniel wrote, I saw in the night visions, behold, one like the Son of Man came with the clouds of heaven and came to the Ancient of Days, and they brought him near before him. And it was given him dominion and glory and a kingdom, that all people, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion, which shall not pass away, and his kingdom that which shall not be destroyed. For the world, Christmas is a babe in a manger. For a small segment of the world, that babe's life ends on a cross. For an even smaller segment, and that's where they leave him. I've been in churches all over the world where you walk in and there's a cross at the front and Christ is still on that cross. For a smaller segment of the world, that cross is empty. As empty as the tomb. Because Jesus, not only did he die on the cross, but he rose from the dead. He's coming back. He came as a babe in a manger, but he's coming back. When he comes back, he will not be coming back as a babe in a manger. And that is what most people throughout the world picture him. As a babe in a manger. But he's coming back as Lord of Lords and King of Kings to reign for 1,000 years. And because of Christmas, because that babe was born in the fullness of time, you and I are going to reign with him if you know Jesus Christ as your Savior. The seventh chapter of Daniel is filled with prophecies about the saints of the Most High. We who celebrate Christmas and know the one born into the world at that time, though we really don't know when he was born, we're called the saints of God. The statements made in Daniel 7 are about us. The birth of that special baby 2,000 years ago was a fulfillment of the prophecies given over 500 years before the birth. We are told over and over about what is going to happen to us because we believe what was prophesied. Daniel 7:18 says, But the saints of the Most High, that's us, shall take the kingdom and possess the kingdom forever. Even forever and ever. Because of that babe in a manger, born in the fullness of time, we will spend eternity with Jesus. For the young and actually many older people, Christmas is a time of getting. Getting things that usually have no eternal consequence. But things that just occupy space in a person's life. For some, Christmas is forgiving of the things that demonstrate the genuine love as expressed in the gift given to us. Christmas has not always been this way. God gave, as expressed in John 3:16, and by that gift we know that God loves us. Because the Bible tells us so. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. The neat part of that gift that we can share is the fact that we can share it with other people. it never diminishes. No matter how many people we share it with. And it is such a blessing to know and see other people experiencing the joy that Jesus brings to the heart. That gift will never rust out. It will never wear out. It will never break. The batteries will never go dead. That gift will live on and on and on in their hearts. And so this time of year is a very special time. It's too bad God has to remind us about times like this. But he does that out of love, so we can share in that love in the lives of other people. Because Jesus was born of the Virgin Mary, you and I have the promise of victory over the wicked one. And we know that one day we will be a permanent part of the Lord's kingdom. A permanent part of the Lord's kingdom as prophesied by Daniel in Daniel 7:27. And the kingdom and the dominion and the greatness of the kingdom under the whole heaven shall be given to the people of the saints of the Most High, whose kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and all dominion shall serve and obey him. Do you know that Daniel prophesied so much about what God was going to do with Jesus? Christmas should cause us to look forward to what awaits us in the times to come. God gave us a gift that will continue to give for the rest of eternity. It was a gift not just for you and I, but for the whole world. And we can share that gift with as many people as we can, and it, like I said, it will not be diminished in any way. In fact, it will continue to grow in value and satisfaction with each time we share it. Is there any other gift that can give more pleasure, that can fulfill lives like the gift of God to man? The gift of his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, was his proof to us that he loves us. Do people in the world believe that he loves them? No, they don't. That's why Jesus told us, or Paul told us, we are ambassadors for Christ. That's our job, folks. We've got a little over 2 weeks to Christmas. That's our job. For the next 2 weeks, how many people can we share him with? We might even have a time of testimony, if the Lord permits you to do that, on Christmas Eve. I know it's early, but one of the things they taught me at Bob Jones, when you're done, you're done. Let's pray. Father, we are so glad that Jesus was born. We don't understand all that you did to prepare that event. But Father, we do love him because he has first loved us. Father, we ask tonight that we might pray according to the leading of your Holy Spirit, and Father, that your Spirit might lead us to those who need Jesus Christ. And Father, may we rejoice with them as he works in their hearts. May they open their hearts to receive him and then to serve him. Thank you for each one here tonight. Because you are the one who gives safety, take each one home safely to their destination tonight. And use each one of us in this week to come. And we will praise you for all that you do. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, this coming Wednesday night,